We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and run outside, with the proper social distancing, of course, has been a great outlet. So if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility, and their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
There is just a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot to talk about. Fireworks in the sky that are keeping people up. Non-poisoned milkshakes. K-pop affecting presidential rallies. There's all sorts of things to talk about. And Mike is coming in here with a whole lot of opinions on the virus. I drove here today, Stugatz. I've been driving for a month past this testing station that has been empty for a month. And today, the line was an hour long.
Really?
Of cars.
Wow.
Of people getting tested because this area in Florida appears to be infested. I want to get to that in a second. I also want to get to what's happening with Bill Simmons and the idea of privilege. And Bill Simmons has been a little tone deaf. And when he's asked about diversity, his response in an email is, this isn't open mic night. And he's given, you know, a podcast to his daughter. And so I want to talk about that with, you know, the representative for old white privilege that we have in here with us today. And that's Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, a person hired solely because he's my friend, the representative of how white people come into power, because this is just who you know. That's the only reason he's here.
And nepotism. So we're really checking a lot of boxes.
It's not what you know. It's who you know, Dano.
Uh-huh. I know. And so it's good to have Greg Cody here so that we could talk about this with just such an obvious benefit of privilege from the old white guy's perspective, which you're not getting enough of today. But I need to start with NASCAR, NewsCar. I need to start with NASCAR, and not the serious part where I'm going to play for you some Bomani Jones sound. And I've told you before, he's better on the subject of race than anybody in the history of our company. And so he will slice through this as I'm sitting here sticking my toe in the water yesterday with NewsCar jokes. And Mike's reprimanding me, saying, well, we shouldn't do this to all of NASCAR. Bomani Jones, you will hear from him in a minute and a half, why you should do this to all of NASCAR, no matter how good they made you feel yesterday, with a really nice moment that can make the Marty Smiths of the world feel better, but represents, instead of a movement, represents a moment. And black people fear that this is all very temporary, and it's just a moment instead of a movement, a shift on everything it is that's being dealt with here. And you will hear, Bomani Jones, why all of NASCAR needs to be smeared with this, even if it hurts Marty Smith's feelings. But before I get to that, I need to get to Tony and Chris, who, like many of us yesterday, decided to sniff the racetrack, decided to go over there and see what was going on, what was all the fuss about. Let's find out. And both of them are like, look, Bubba, in a time of real equality, somebody needs to criticize the race car driver for running out of gas when we could have had our moment. We could have had our moment, our big sports moment, the sports moment of the pandemic, and he ran out of gas. Who's hammering Bubba today?
Didn't manage that race well.
No, you can't run out of gas, Bubba. Bubba, it not in that spot, Bubba. I don't know anything about your sport. I don't. It probably happens all the time. I am an expert on your sport from having watched 3 minutes yesterday, but you cannot run out of gas in that spot, Bubba.
You have an entire nation, maybe not an entire nation, but like half the nation at least, maybe more at this point, rooting for you to win every race.
You can't run out of gas, Bubba. Do better.
Everybody runs out of gas, Dan. Man, this is a problem.
Win the race.
You're new to the sport.
You got to win the race, Bubba. I know I'm ignorant. I know I don't know anything.
You're new to the sport. You're not a proper gearhead like myself. So let me explain something to you. This is a problem. These are they have mathematicians on their teams and crews, Dan. You have to save gas. You have to know exactly when to turn left and how hard you got to bank it. These are things that I'm sure you'll catch on when we get to the tricky triangle doubleheader at Pocono this weekend.
Sometimes you got to play it by feel. There are times where I think I need gasoline, but I tell myself, you know what? This car can run on fumes. It won't make it to work.
Look, I'm very naive when it comes to car racing. I've never really raced a car, but one of the first things that would be on my checklist if I was going to race a car, have enough gas to finish the race. See, that's just the first thing I would do.
Look, this is very harsh criticism on this day, Chris, and I don't like that you descend straight from privilege and you feel this comfortable criticizing Bubba Watson on what was supposed to be a symbolically great
Bubba
day for
Wallace.
Him.
Bubba Watson's a golfer.
Yeah,
man.
He plays golf. Yep.
I mean, you should be embarrassed about how ignorant you are when it comes to the coverage of this sport.
Bubba Watson. I mean, he's got a couple of green coats.
Is this not an understandable mistake? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is calling Bubba Wallace Bubba Watson an understandable mistake? Yes or no?
Don Lemon did it on CNN as he was introducing Bubba Wallace as his guest. Called him Bubba Watson. Bubba Wallace called him out.
I mean, did he called him out?
He just said, listen, I race cars. I don't play golf.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. Still, all of us went and sniffed the racetrack yesterday, and Bubba Wallace ran out of gas. And I'm not good with it, Bubba, even though I started paying attention to your sport 3 seconds ago.
Nobody knew the rules, including myself. What does overtime mean? I'm waiting for an Adam Amin tweet.
Including myself.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not a gearhead at all. I was just betting on it, okay? And I need to find out what was happening. I was like, someone tell me what overtime means. And they flashed an Adam Amin tweet up there. I'm like, thank God for Adam Amin to tell me what's going on right here. Apparently, all cars run out of gas. I had a little quid on Joey Logano, and he ran out of gas, too. Blue Deuce was going from 17th to 2nd. It was a hell of a race. Everybody was racing like hell, Dan, because of the threat of rain. It made for, like, 30 cars on the lead lap. Did you see that finish, Dan? Somebody crash and still got third. Amazing stuff.
Really not on the player or the driver in this case, more on the crew chief, right? The head coach. I mean, whoever the coach is of that team has to tell his driver, pull over, you need some gas.
Oh, pull over, there you go. Yeah. Yes, you're totally right. That
what if a yellow comes out and then there's a caution and then you get a free pit?
What colors are yellow? Yes, Chris.
In 2020, because my car has this cool thing now where it has a range. It tells me exactly how long until I'm going to run out of gas. Does he have this range in his car? Because I like to roll the dice sometimes, too, with my range. Do you guys do this?
They're very meticulous about how they do or don't run out of gas.
Yeah, like 17 people have a gauge. It's all done by computers.
Everybody.
In fact, they try to not put too much gas because they're looking for that tenth of a second extra speed by not carrying the extra weight. Guys, you need to join me here in NASCAR.
Okay, but 17 people, you would think they would never run out of gas, though.
No. Happens all the time. As long as NASCAR keeps racing at Monday between the hours of 3 and 8 p.m. Eastern, I am in on this sport.
Put it on the poll. Can Bubba Wallace run out of gas in that spot? Yes or no? Just yes or no. Yes, Cody, what do you have?
Well, listen, can you imagine if Bubba Wallace had won? It would have been such a great story, and half of the country would have been like, the fix was on, conspiracy, they let him win. You know, I mean, that would have been a thing had Bubba Wallace won that race.
Well, they were trying to let him win, but he ran out of gas. Yeah. Like, they were all, like, imagine how NASCAR feels today. They had it all set up.
Bubba, we're trying.
It was all set up for him to win the race. They showed you at the beginning, they all walked right behind him and pushed his car, and he was crying. They did it all right, and then Bubba ran out of gas, which you can't do.
On his crew chief.
You can't do that. Don't blame. Is the crew chief? What color is the crew chief? Can we blame
cares?
Him?
I don't know.
We can't blame him? Who can we blame?
I mean, you guys sound ignorant just expecting that Bubba Wallace was going to beat the 12 car yesterday. 12 car was just so fast. Back-to-back wins at the Dega.
We've got the sound of Bomani Jones, and you want to hear this. We'll play it next.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Here's your Sports Center update. Sonoma Raceway officials are conducting an investigation after a piece of twine tied in what appeared to be a noose was found hanging from a tree on Raceway property on Saturday. Ryan Blaney won the NASCAR Cup Series at Talladega in a photo finish over Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Eric Almirola finished third, sliding tail first past the finish line. Bubba Wallace finished 14th, his best finish at his home track. Ran out of gas. And finally, Michael Keaton is in talks to return as Batman for upcoming DC Comics movie, The Flash. Keaton could potentially return for future films from DC Comics if the deal is completed. Michael Keaton's still hanging around.
How old is he? Hold on a second. Put this on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Should Michael Keaton still be playing Batman, yes or no?
He was the original in the movies, right?
Not the original, but in the
movies.
The generation, what, the 80s, I guess? Was that the first Batman movie?
Batman 89.
Was the one with Jack Nicholson and him the first movie-made Batman? There wasn't one in the 60s,
no, 70s, or 80s? No, there was a longer-form film featuring Adam West. It's a classic. It holds up. That's the time that the shark was stuck on Batman's leg and he needed the shark repellent. Right. He's obviously playing an older version of Batman. This isn't him just, all right, I'm Cape Crusader again in my 60s. I think the Flash can, like, time hop.
Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com, that's NAVAGE.com, or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So the country is a mess, and you saw yesterday in a microcosm, in NASCAR, Stugatz, you saw in a microcosm some of the things that are happening in this country in that we're all worried about COVID, all worried about COVID, all worried about COVID. What? We've got to support a black driver because a noose was in his garage? Never mind about the social distancing. We'll all be together, even though Marty Smith has to cover NASCAR from 200 yards away because everyone needs to be separated from each other. But when the protests arrive, people are shoulder to shoulder all of a sudden, again, wearing masks.
And Bubba Wallace, it's a great photo. He goes and walks over to black fans that made the drive over from Atlanta that have never attended a NASCAR race, wearing all sorts of I Can't Breathe, Black Lives Matter shirts. And he wasn't wearing his mask. He actually touched his face and he was shaking their hands. And he's like, but his explanation was cool. I want to show whoever did this that they can't take my smile.
So here's what we've got going on, though, because it's creeping into every part of sports here. Mike mentioned Atlanta there, and what is happening in Atlanta is pretty brutal, with Atlanta police walkouts and with, you know, officers refusing to respond to any call that isn't about an officer down. And, you know, it just becomes heartbreaking, these divisions, when you're watching it. And on one side, you're seeing black folks saying, well, wait a minute, the police are literally walking out because we won't let them murder us in the street without consequences? Like, they're going to walk out? And I also see why people would say, well, they're in a dangerous job right now. It must be an unpleasant time to be a police officer. But the thing that I see when I see that, and it hurts, why don't you protect us the way you protect each other? Good God, man, you're so good at that. You're so good at protecting each other. The job is not that. The job is to protect us. Why can't you be as good protecting us as you are at protecting each other? You clearly have it in you somewhere. You can do it.
I don't want to smear all cops, but you did sign up for danger, and you did sign up to protect all of us. Everyone.
It's sworn. And yes. So anyway, the part that gets frustrating, right, because they're better at nothing than they are at protecting each other. And I get why they feel even more threatened than ever before, and I get why they would be defensive about it. But you see what's happening in the streets. It cannot be ignored. you're on the wrong side, still sitting there protecting each other instead of protecting us. You don't have to choose between those two things either. You don't. You can be loyal to your comrades and denounce when one of them is on someone's neck for 9 minutes. So regardless, throughout sports, what you have happening here, Stugatz, is you've got Natasha Cloud now going the Maya Moore route, WNBA. She's just leaving the sport in order to concentrate on social reform. You've got Mississippi State's running back, Kylan Hill. He is saying, like, he's the best player in Mississippi. He's just got an award, best player in Mississippi. He's like, I'm not representing that flag anymore. Unless the state's flag is changed, I will not represent that flag anymore. And then, Mike, in the Premier League, is it Burnley where White Lives Matter playing?
It was it flew over the Burnley Manchester City match at the Etihad Stadium in Manchester. It said White Lives Matter Burnley,
and so it's everywhere, right? It's everywhere in sports where this is a fight. And as Natasha Cloud, we're going to talk to Cheryl Swoops at 11 o'clock Eastern here, one of the great names in basketball, and to talk about what Natasha Cloud is doing, what Maya Moore is doing, where the nature of these sacrifices. But the thing that I wanted to ask you guys about, because I was not aware of it, because in Miami this has not yet started happening, although I heard some of it happening yesterday. What's going on with the fireworks late at night meant to keep us awake? I see a lot of complaining. Who is doing that? I don't know anything. I am ignorant on this conversation. I just simply heard it outside of my, it woke me up yesterday, fireworks, and I hadn't heard it before. And then I realized this is something a lot of people are doing and experiencing. Is it part of a protest in New York?
It's happening a lot in New York. In fact, the mayor just announced like some undercover sting operation using more cops to sort of buy these fireworks and get down to the bottom of it. Also, there's a pretty viral video of police squad cars circling a New York neighborhood at 3 a.m., apparently making noise. So I saw a news story on the fireworks. It's sort of murky as to what the origins are. Some people have good intentions, sort of like stay woke, sort of drawing your attention to the facts, and that's the message. Other people are explaining it away, saying it's a pandemic. People are bored. They're at home. They're using fireworks. So I'm not really sure. It's become a sort of thing, and its roots are sort of murky.
Before we find out more about that, Mike, this exchange just happened with Stugatz. Chuck Solituro, as you know, is the journalistic sentry, the last journalist remaining in the universe of the executive ESPN empire, and he delights as an ally of this show when he can send something from stupidity to the news desk and to the Jump. And Stugatz has Andre Drummond on his podcast, and there was news on this podcast. And, Mike, you will not be surprised by this at all. Chuck was telling Stugatz, I just sent this out to our news desk. You guys made news. Stugatz has no idea what the news actually is. It was on his podcast. I don't know whether his news judgment is that bad, whether he wasn't listening. He has no idea what the news item is that they've taken from stupidity.
The fact that I broke news is news to me. I have no idea. I am taping so many of these episodes at such an alarming rate that I forget. I have no idea. I spoke to Drummond last week. I have no idea what he said to me that would, you know, be viewed as breaking news in today's environment. No, I still don't know. I
mean, is it the player option? He's got like a high profile option.
And so what? He told you on stupidity that he's opting in.
It's like a $29-30 million option, and we were having such a good time. I snuck it in there, Dan. You would have been proud of me. I was like, hey, $29-30 million. There's no way you're turning that down.
He's got to pick that one up.
It's a bad time. It's a pandemic, Drake. You got to take that.
Breaking news.
Hold that thought.
Unbelievable.
Let's sell some ads.
Our quest continues, even in these difficult racial times, to get Stugatz to the top of the media mountain. One stupidity at a time. Casper, people, if you're having trouble with your mattress, Casper will fix your situation. What are you shaking your head about, Mike?
I mean, Greg has just been a box. It says Greg Cody. We can't see his face. I'm sure a lot of fans are excited about Greg Cody Tuesday, wanting to get him more involved. I've got no idea when he has something, because all I see is his name in the box.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and runs outside, with the proper social distancing precautions, of course, has been a great outlet. So, if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility. And the proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business. Because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Cheryl Swoop's going to join us there in just a minute. Perhaps the greatest basketball player we've ever had on this show. I'm not joking.
LeBron's been on the show.
Yeah, and?
I wouldn't say many. I wouldn't. I think Shaq. I think I go Shaq. I wouldn't say many.
Shaq, Wade.
I think she might say LeBron. We'll find out in a second. She's too humble, though.
I think she might say Cheryl Swoop. She should. Here's your SportsCenter update. Major League Baseball plans to hold a 60-game season that will begin around July 24th, but first needs players to sign off on a health and safety protocol and a pledge to arrive at home stadiums by July 1st to prepare for the season. I think that protocol thing they have to read is like 67 pages. How many players are getting through that? Jeez. Trailblazers forward Trevor Ariza is opting out of participating in the NBA's Orlando restart of the season, committing instead to a one-month visitation window with his young son. And finally, Oscar-winning actor Jamie Foxx has confirmed that he will play Mike Tyson in an upcoming biopic about the life of the American former heavyweight boxer and has now shown a picture of his new physique. By the way, you seen Tyson lately? He is looking like the old Iron Mike.
Looking very fast, very menacing.
He's
yes.
Coming back. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So her nonprofit is Back to Our Roots, Back to Our Roots, BTOR22.com. It empowers African-American kids by educating them on their ancestral heritage. If you want more information, again, Back to Our Roots is the name of the organization, BTOR22.com. is how you find more information. Cheryl Swoop's with us now on ESPN Radio. Thank you for being on with us. Are you indeed the best basketball player to ever appear on this radio show? You now have to settle the argument for us, because I think your humility isn't going to let you do that.
Oh, my God.
But you are LeBron. Who's the – and, yes, you go between LeBron and Shaq at the very least.
I mean, three-time MVP, won a gold medal, won titles. Yes. I mean,
let's
Cheryl,
go. Let's go, Cheryl. Where you go on the list?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys for having me. I'm not sure I've ever kind of been stuck in the middle like that. to have to settle this debate. You know, and I'm not going to go female or male, right? I'm just going with basketball player.
Correct.
Yep.
Of course I'm the best basketball player you guys have ever had on this show.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about, Swoops!
That is the least humble moment of Cheryl Swoops' career that just happened right there. You have spent the last month here, I imagine, like many of us, a little heartbroken, a little scared, and hopeful somewhere, attending rallies in the Houston area. What's the last month been like for you in terms of your emotional spirit and the drain?
Man, it's definitely been emotional. There's not a day that doesn't go by, even like right now, that I don't wake up and say, sorry, because I'm emotional right now just thinking about it and talking about it, and just say, you know, God, what's going to happen today? I can't remember for myself personally ever being so scared to leave my house just to go to the grocery store. And the past month, I am really scared to get in my car and just leave my house, to be perfectly honest with you. It's been, as crazy as it sounds, it's been empowering to see so many people of many different races come together in rally and support and in marches and protest. And, you know, I think what's different about this one for me is, and I think other people have spoken about it, is you have younger people, younger generations that say, this is not who we are. This is not who the country is. And, you know, you have blacks and whites and Asians and Hispanics, everybody coming together in the streets saying, we want better. We want changes. We need changes. And that's the one thing that gives me hope. But also as a mom of a 23-year-old and 21-year-old African-American men, it's terrifying. It's terrifying to wake up in this country right now not knowing if your kids or yourself or if my husband are going to come home safe.
Do you recognize your country, Cheryl?
No, I really don't. And here's the crazy thing is racism has been there. And I don't care how many people want to say, oh, my goodness, racism doesn't exist. I can't believe this is going on in our country. It's always been there. I think that the difference is it's all being filmed now. And it's all being brought to the forefront. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not sure if this pandemic wouldn't have happened that we would be addressing it and talking about it as much as we are. But with the pandemic, we've just been forced to kind of sit home and watch the news and watch television, and everything is amplified right now. I truly do not recognize this country that we call the great United States of America. It's not so great anymore.
When you go to these Houston rallies and protests, are you afraid of even peacefully protesting?
There are a couple things I'm afraid of, to be honest with you. One, the pandemic is still here. So when you're out there and you see tons of people, you know, not wearing masks, not wearing gloves, so in such close contact, that scares me. But then you have people, you have groups of people, I believe, who are using this Black Lives Matter movement or, you know, all these different protests to kind of infiltrate and find their way, a way to get in and to do bad things. That has absolutely happened. I will tell you when I went to a couple here in Houston, I went with my son and some of his friends that he plays basketball with. We went out, we were there for a couple hours, and the later it got, you know, I said, it's time for us to go, because you could just feel the atmosphere, the environment was changing. There were completely different groups of people, and honestly, they weren't black people. And that's what everybody thinks when you see it and you're talking about it, and especially that man in the White House, I think they all think it's the black people that are doing all this looting and killings and things like that. It's not all black people that's doing that. So there is a part of me that says, what's going to happen at this rally this time? And thankfully for me, the ones that I have gone to, they've been very peaceful.
Cheryl Swoops with us here on ESPN Radio. What kind of conversations, how have the conversations gone with your son?
I never thought that I would have to sit here and have a conversation with him and say, son, if a police pulls you over, and nowadays they don't even have to have a reason, but if a police pulls you over, I don't even know what to tell him, because if you don't resist, you can still end up being killed. And obviously, if you resist, you end up being killed. So my conversations with him, honestly, are what questions do you have for me? What terrifies you? Let's talk about it. Every single day, we're having a new conversation about something different that's happened. And even if it doesn't end up in a young black man being killed, it's so confrontational. Like, as a young black man in this country, you can't jog. And I live out in the country. Like, I am deep in the country where, honestly, there's not many black people where I live, if any. So my son goes jogging and running, and that scares me. There are times when I actually get in my car and I follow him so he can jog. And I shouldn't have to live my life like that. He shouldn't have to live his life like that. So it's just a conversation about, you know, you be as respectful as possible, which he does anyway, but I don't even think that matters anymore. And lots of times, if you are respectful and peaceful, it's like they'll say things or do things because they want to try and incite you to do something, to say something. I don't know. Like, I don't have the answer. Sorry, but I don't have that answer for you. It's just a scary time to be in this country.
I'm wondering what is happening inside of Cheryl Swoops. You said your son is 23 years old. What is happening inside of Cheryl Swoops when she decides, I'm going to get into the car and just be behind him while he jogs? Like, what is happening there that makes you go to those lengths?
You know, and I'm actually praying when I do it. And I'll tell you why, because he did tell me he went jogging one day, just jogging around our neighborhood. And a sheriff actually pulled up to him and said, you must be an athlete because there's not many of you out here. And my son said to him, yes, sir, I am. And my son continued to jog, and he continued to follow him. And he asked him, he said, well, exactly where do you live? My son gave him the address. And at that moment, when my son gave him the address, he turned and he started coming back home. And thankfully, I just happened to be outside working in my yard, and I saw my son coming, and I see the sheriff pull in behind him. But as my son came through the gate, the sheriff turned around and he left. So I had a conversation with my son and asked him what that was about. And my son told me, he said he wasn't mean or anything. He said, but I came back because I started feeling uncomfortable. And this was after, rest his soul, Mr. Ahmaud Arbery was killed. And so now that when I wake up and my son's like, okay, Mom, I want to go jogging, I plan my day around just getting in my car and following my son for, you know, 10, 15 minutes while he's trying to jog. So what's going through my mind is, God, what have we come to? Where are we in this country that a young African-American man can't jog? Like, as crazy as that sounds, it's so real. That has become our reality.
Back to Our Roots is her nonprofit organization. If you want to educate yourself on the ancestral heritage and if you of African Americans and you want your kids to learn something, btor22.com. Cheryl, thank you for being on with us, and thank you for being so honest.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your Sports Center update. Major League Baseball plans to hold a 60-game season that will begin around July 24th, but first needs players to sign off on a health and safety protocol and to pledge to arrive at home stadiums by July 1st to prepare for the season. Trailblazers forward Trevor Ariza is opting out of participating in the NBA's Orlando restart of the season, committing instead to a one-month visitation window with his young son. And finally, the Queen of England has someone break her shoes in before she wears them. A member of her staff with the same size feet will walk up and down palace hallways until they are suitably comfortable for her.
Great. We should all have that.
I mean, really? Those first couple of days in brand new shoes are, what am I talking
about? You do have that, Dan.
Thank you for doing it for me, Mike.
Yeah. Height of privilege right there. If you are like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know. Your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto only at Advance Auto Parts. And participating CarQuest locations, see stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
I wanted to be a man of the people. You revealed my secret there to all. So thank you for all the years of breaking my shoes in so that I wouldn't have to break them in. Cody reports that lava is 2,140 degrees Fahrenheit. That was about the temperature 70 miles from the Arctic Circle yesterday, 2,140 degrees Fahrenheit. We also had a joke to end the last segment. It was in the chat. We stumbled around at the end not being able to find the joke, but the joke was in the chat. Greg Cody, we couldn't see him. We couldn't hear him, but he fired off with his fingers. I've also never had the concern that Cheryl Swoops has had about having to follow the child while he is jogging, because Christopher has never jogged. So just an easy fat joke that he was super proud of.
About his son.
About his son, yes. A son that recently celebrated a birthday, and his father gave him a pineapple that was $3.99, and it was wrapped, and it represents what I believe to be the worst birthday gift ever given.
He's trying to get his son in shape, I mean.
Thank you. In the local hour, Dan, we got an update on that pineapple because Greg was talking about Chris and his backyard and how things are coming along. And I asked, hey, did you ever plant that pineapple? And Chris said, no, I ate it.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, that his father bought him pineapple because Chris wanted to have a pineapple tree instead of giving him a pineapple. And now it can never become a tree because Chris ate it. And so the birthday gift ends up being $3.99 from the father to the son. And given that Greg Cody is slowly dying and Stugatz enjoys making jokes at his expense, you never know if that's the last gift you will ever buy your son, Greg Cody. So he'll always have that.
In fairness to Greg, we're all slowly dying.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. That put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. In fairness to Greg, aren't we all slowly dying? I wanted to talk about this because you guys are super hard on us and you jump to conclusions. The latest thing you're mad about is that we aren't on television for simulcast lately, even though, like, there's a pandemic, man. We can't even get Greg Cody on right. We can't put a bunch of camera people in here. We're lucky that they allow three of us in here in the studio and that everyone else can work from home.
Me and Dan are in the studio and we are 6 feet apart. There are days Mike Ryan is in a separate room where I am never in the same room as Mike Ryan. I mean, it's difficult. It's tricky figuring this out.
Okay. And so those of you who are complaining about not being able to see us on television, that's the reason, just so that you know, and not that you're going to stop your complaining, but other complaints that I have received.
I understand we also have robotic cameras, but we're produced out of Washington, D.C., and they have more aggressive measures in place. So it's going to be a minute.
So another thing, though, that you're presuming, right, because Bill Simmons got into it yesterday in that he did an interview with the New York Times and it was tone deaf. And many of you think that because he's me, he's my friend, he's our friend, that we wouldn't be critical of him, as if you don't know us at all, as if you don't know that we can tell our friends when we think that they're wrong. So Bill Simmons signed a deal at Spotify that he must feel very good about, because he created, he was able to do something very few people are able to do leaving ESPN, which is to be bigger and badder than ever. And with that power, you might say today comes some responsibility. And I would understand how it is that he would be prickly about others telling him how to hire and who to hire. But this is the way some of this stuff ends up happening. And you will notice that it's not a coincidence that the Joe Rogans, the Bill Simmons, the Barstool types, they have a certain set of life experiences that might be different than the life experiences around here. Our show is almost all minorities. And the reason for that is because that's where we grew up. That's what our life experiences are. But when I've been telling you for damn near a decade now that Boston is poison, and you people yell at me all the time, you don't understand how it is that growing up in that environment, what I believe to be the most racist city in America, how growing up in that environment affects life experiences. And so you hire people who are like you. You hire people you like. And the thing about the interview that was tone deaf is that he says it's not an open mic night when questioned on diversity, but he's given his daughter a podcast, and he talks to his friends. And that's all we're doing around here. That's right. All we're doing around here is we're talking to our friends. So we're doing the same thing. It just happens to be that Miami is a place, like, there's a reason, Stugatz. The reason Amin gets on red eye flights to come out here is because there are so few platforms like this one where minorities can come and just be themselves and not worry about it. Why do you think all these people end up here? It's not because we're actively out there soliciting them, although Mike Ryan has done some of that. They want to be around something that feels a little bit different than what it is that they're used to. So I don't blame Bill Simmons for making a big hire in Ryan Russillo, but that's not diverse. And I want Russillo to work, and I want Bill Simmons to work, and I want everyone to have fun on the platform. But that's how it happens. And so you guys want me to come after Simmons or criticize him, and I'm telling you that you got to be diverse with your hiring practices. But I'm telling you, at a microphone where our power structure in this company hasn't been all that diverse either. And it's gotten better recently, but the power is in the hands of the same people. Why? Because if you're in Bristol all the time, what do you think's going to be around Bristol all the time? People who look like Bristol. And that's what's going to happen. And we've had this outpost out here where we're in a different place, and the minorities fly here,
right,
to be near this because it feels a little bit different energetically from a different perspective. Doesn't make it the right perspective. Just they notice that the platform feels a different way than the platform that you come up through this entire system. When you got Sports Illustrated with no black writers, when you've got Jemele Hill becomes the first, you know, black female columnist in America, the entire media structure, the decisions are being made by white people, and white people who think sometimes that they hit a home run because they were born on third base. And so what that interview had in it was a tone deafness. And maybe Bill Simmons will take this as a learning moment. No matter how much power you have, no matter how much money you have, you got to listen to people right now.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show, Win Stugatz podcast, comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Here's your SportsCenter update. The Orlando Pride have withdrawn from the upcoming NWSI Challenge Cup after six players and four staffers tested positive for the coronavirus. The NWSL is scheduled to be the first professional team sports league in the United States to return to play. Novak Djokovic has been diagnosed with the coronavirus. And finally, fish bowls don't provide the proper amount of oxygen and are actually terrible homes for fish. Really? Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com. That's Navage.com. Or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. The Ron McGill Show is brought to you by the Overheard Podcast. Download the Overheard Podcast for your curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters. Presented by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. That actually sounds pretty cool. Ron McGill joins us right now.
786-456-4837 is the telephone number if you'd like to ask your animal questions of Ron McGill. There was a 65-pound tortoise found walking around in Virginia. Just nobody knows why it's there or what's happening there, Ron McGill. Why is there a 65-pound tortoise in Virginia?
Well, probably somebody had it as a pet. It got away. My best guess is probably going to be an African spur-side tortoise because they can get to that size. They were highly imported for many years within the last 20 years. People import them as, hatchlings where they're the size of maybe a tennis ball, and then they grow to be the size of, a 65 to, they can get well over 100 pounds as a matter of fact, and they can live, close to 100 years. So people get these things as small little novelty items. They keep on growing, they keep on living, and then all of a sudden people don't know what to do with them, and they're escape artists. They can dig out of anything. So my guess is that's what it did. The unfortunate thing is in Virginia, as soon as winter comes, if that thing doesn't get some heat, it's going to die.
So it can't be there past, it has to be very recent, you're saying? Somebody released
it? Yeah, it has to be recent. That animal had to be released or had to have adapted in such a way where it could have found an underground, burrow that it can get into and survive a harsh winter by kind of incubating itself in an underground burrow or in some water source that keeps the temperature down low. That's not out of the question, but it's unlikely.
How about the idea that there was this tortoise that saved the species and now Diego is living on an uninhabited island on Ecuador in retirement? Do you know this story, the backstory?
Absolutely, absolutely. The Galapagos tortoise, Diego, is one of the famous tortoises from Hispaniola. He was the last of the breed, and he was able to produce hundreds of babies. He was the last male, and he produced hundreds of babies that have now grown up and have been released onto the island. And you know what they're saying? Listen, guy, you have done your job. You have bred the gajibers out of these females. You've produced offspring that are now the future of the species. Go live in retirement, because I think as every male gets really a lot older, all of a sudden, the female's not the first thing on their mind.
How heroic is Diego? And give me...
He's a god. He's a god amongst tortoises. Diego was not only called to service, he serviced all those females, not just adequately, but fantastically, yeah. Produced all these offspring, and he is, they should have an icon of Diego for all the Hispaniola tortoises now of the Galapagos, need to look back and say, he is our father. He is the father of this subspecies.
A statue. They should put a statue up.
You say that facetiously. I think they should. I think they should put a statue, a bronze statue, life size of that guy. He's probably about 400 plus pounds. And people should go by, and just rub his shell when they go by. A bronze statue and go by and rub his shell, because that is a success story in every sense of the word.
Is there any other animal in the history of the animal kingdom, according to Ron McGill, as heroic as Diego?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. There are animals that have made contributions, even in death. For instance, the northern white rhino, the last northern white rhino died not too long ago. The last northern white rhino died, but before he died, he made a great semen donation that has been frozen, and in that tube rests the future of the species. So depending on what they can develop in embryo transplants using the semen from that last rhino that posthumously now is going to save the species, that would also make him a hero.
In terms of heroic animals, what about the dolphin that saved Elyon?
Yep.
Ryan, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Ron.
Hey.
I wanted to ask about, I have a group of pigeons that hangs out in my backyard, but one of them is like pure white. And my theory is that it's just like a regular pigeon that's white, but my girlfriend has a theory that it's an escaped magician's pigeon. Who's more likely to be right?
You're most likely to be right. It's what's called leucistic. That is a genetic mutation that is found in all animals. That is basically, it's not an albino because the eyes are dark. They have pigment in the eyes, but the feathers are all white. It's a genetic mutation called leucistic, and it occurs in all animals. It's very rare, but more so common in things like pigeons that have been bred for that for many years. So it's very likely that that was just a genetic mutation. Found this flock of pigeons, hangs out together. It's not unheard of. It's not impossible. It could be a magician or somebody else's pigeon that escaped, but it's very most likely just to be a genetic mutation.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
As we know, dogs have an advanced sense of smell, and I've read an article that dogs are now being trained to find COVID-19 in patients. How is that possible?
I don't know how that's possible, Roy, because I certainly don't have that sense of smell, but they've been proven to find, to be able to detect cancer in people. Dogs can detect cancer in people. Dogs can detect if someone's pregnant. Dogs can detect these things that normally would take some type of biological test, but yet dogs have this incredible sense to be able to detect that. It's like a bloodhound, you know, that can track a scent for miles through a forest after a rainstorm. It's just, these are the amazing things about animals that we just don't understand. In many ways, we don't appreciate. But I believe that it is possible that a dog can detect that. And think about it. Instead of putting a swab up your nose, which I had done, it looked like it was going to go into my brain, just have a dog come up, pet the dog, let the dog smell you, and the answer's there.
Yes.
How great would that be?
Yes, that would be much better. That's right. Greg Cody, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, I was interested to read that in the ancient Tang Dynasty in China, rats were referred to as household deer, and they were cooked and eaten as a delicacy. And that around the world, even today, rats are considered a delicacy. Have you ever eaten a rat, and would you? And if not, what's the weirdest thing that you've eaten on your travels?
Okay. First of all, you know, I'm always impressed by how well-read you are, Greg, much, much more so than me. Having said that, I have eaten a rat, but not the common rat that you guys are thinking about. I've eaten the world's largest rat, which is called a capybara, which in Central and South America is actually cooked as a delicacy. I ate it when I was visiting an indigenous tribe, and that was part of their meal, and quite frankly, it wasn't that bad. But it is the world's largest rodent. Rodents of all types are eaten by many different cultures, ranging from squirrels, to little rats, to mice, to of course, capybaras, and things like, agoutis and things like that. These are actually very main staple parts of diets for many cultures throughout tropical America. So I have eaten them. I have eaten a capybara. It was not, you know, it wasn't Willard or Ben or whatever those rats were from the movies, but there was a technically a rat.
Not the strangest thing you've eaten, though.
No, not the strange. The strangest thing I've ever eaten was, I don't know if it's the strangest or just the grossest, was this big, huge, for lack of a better term, it was a maggot. It's just like a huge white worm, a grub that's found in a bamboo thing that's basically, I guess, the larval stage of this type of beetle. And these folks in the Amazon, they considered it a delicacy. And again, it was in one of these things where I was invited to join this tribe of people, and they offered me this as a, you know, kind of a welcoming thing. And not to be rude, I ate it. But it was the grossest, weirdest thing I've ever eaten in my life. And it was alive. You have to eat it alive. They don't cook it or anything. You just put it in your mouth and you eat it while it's still wiggly.
What food were you most surprised at being delicious on your travels?
What food was I most surprised at being delicious? You know, in Uganda, they take the locusts, these like huge grasshoppers, and they kind of like they season them and dry them and fry them, and they do it in such a way that, you know, it's actually like a really kind of good popcorn. So I tried that, you know, apprehensively at first, but when I finally bit into it, you know, it wasn't bad. It was like a good seasoned kind of a Cracker Jack, but exotic.
Liz, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami.
Hi, we're always saying that I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that room, and I'm wondering, do flies have ears?
You know, they don't have ears as we know them, external ears as we know them, but their feet, the sensory hairs on their feet and their body, are so sensitive to any vibration, they hear in a much different way. It's through the vibrations, but it's so much more sensitive than we are able to do that. Their form of hearing is probably even more effective than ours.
Tony, did you have something for Ron McGill?
I do. Ron, I'm a bigger guy. I'm about 6'4", 220. Is there a bird in the world today that could swoop down, pick me up, and fly me off somewhere?
No.
What's the biggest human a bird could take?
Probably be a harpy eagle. Could probably take maybe a 10 to 15 pound max.
Oh, my God. Infant. So a toddler, a bird. You can...
Wow.
So a toddler. You're telling me that...
Well, a toddler's not 10 or 15 pounds, Dan. That's like a newborn.
Okay.
You know, maybe a couple of days after a newborn. I mean, it's not going to be a walking kid that a bird's going to swoop down and get. It's going to be a baby that can't walk. It's... Oh, that's a gruesome thought.
But it could take Mike Ryan's baby?
I know, 15 pounds.
Oh, stop it. It's 10 to 15 pounds max. Probably closer to 10 pounds, but let's change the subject, because now you're getting into a very sensitive situation. There,
see you later, Ron. Good talking
Thanks.
To you. Thank you for being
Take care.
Here.
So
disappointed. Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The Orlando Pride have withdrawn from the upcoming NWSL Challenge Cup after six players and four staffers tested positive for the coronavirus. The NWSL is scheduled to be the first professional team sports league in the United States to return to play. Novak Djokovic has been diagnosed with the coronavirus. And finally, if you die in Amsterdam and have no friends or family to mourn you, a poet and a civil servant will come together to have a respectful and personal funeral for you. That's nice. Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com, that's Navage.com, or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target for all the latest headlines and information. Tune in to the SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We have said before around here that nothing unites us and nothing unites America like talking 90s baseball on the television screen right now, singling to left, a great at-bat against Roger Clemens. Terry Steinbach sends Carney Lansford to third. Carney Lansford was trying to steal bases on Tony Pena, but now he slides into third. This is back when baseball mattered to all of us, as opposed to now when they're arguing over nonsense.
Steinbach, great name. Carney Lansford, great name. Professional hitter. Tony Pena, an awesome name. Tony Pena would throw you out on one knee.
Yes, he would. I think that's Mike Greenwell in left field.
What?
That's right. This is
Red Sox.
This also, by the way, this A's team is one of the best teams of my lifetime, because who's coming to bat now? Mark McGwire, and I think Canseco's around there somewhere.
Big Mac. You got Ricky Henderson, you got McGwire, you got Canseco, you got Carney Lansford, and then you have what I believe to be one of the two most intimidating pitchers of all time. Dave Stewart was on that staff.
Was he on the 90s staff?
I believe he was.
I think
yes.
of him as an 80s pitcher.
I think he's a 90s pitcher, late 80s, early 90s for the A's, and so intimidating and so good. I love that team, man.
Yes. Was Ricky Henderson on that team? Regardless, we can get swept up in 90s baseball at any point, but I don't want to get distracted from a couple of things happening around here. One, Greg Cody continues to shake his bobblehead at me. What is that bobblehead? I don't recognize what the hell that's supposed to be, Cody.
Yeah, that's a bobblehead of me, Greg Cody, host of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody podcast. My wife, I always thought it would be really neat to have my own bobblehead. And so my wife, I have a Pavel Bure bobblehead, and my wife stuck a picture of me on that bobblehead. But that didn't quite satisfy me, so I wanted my own bobblehead. She surprised me for Christmas a couple of years ago, sent away for a bobblehead. It was delivered from China, came very well packed. It was a beautiful thing. And this does look like me, but not now. It looks like me like 20 years ago.
It looks like Tom. It looks like Tom Brady. I thought it was a Tom Brady bobblehead or Tom Cruise during the Risky Business years. It does not look anything like you.
Yeah, well, you know, I've told you before on this show that people used to call me Tom Cruise and Greg Cutie back when I was much younger. And
it actually does look like Greg because he still has that shirt.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason it looks. It doesn't look anything like you.
Just quickly confirming, Dave Stewart was on that team, and here's a great name for you: the number two starter on that team, Bob Welsh. He had 27 wins one year.
I think that's a repurposed Roy Orbison bobblehead.
It does look like Roy Orbison. Thank you, a thin Roy Orbison.
Now you're pretty woman.
Okay, thank you for nothing. So.
Surprised that thing's working.
This is what I you know what? What's funny about you saying that it's a surprise that that button works? I hesitated to use it because I didn't know whether I had sprayed it or not.
Really?
That button hasn't been touched. You know what? Give me the hand sanitizer here because
take two.
Thank you. All right. Give me wipes. Come in here. That guy with the hazmat suit. Have him come in here and power clean me. So something that was happening here a second ago that was great. It was happening, and it's real. This is a moment of joy for the show, and I want all of us to absorb it, okay? We've told you for a long time around here that the goal is to have Stugatz, like a tiny little spider monkey, crawl up every mainstream media member's back and head and face and get to the top of the ESPN worldwide leader in sports mountain. The last move, as a spoof of all of sports media, is for Stugatz to plant the flag in my head at the end as he has climbed the top sports media. Stugatz, during the break, with a genuine sense of joy and sharing that we would share with embrace if we didn't have to be 6 feet apart. Stugatz said, "We did it. We did it, buddy." And he was excited. And you ask, what did we do? The number one headline on ESPN.com is Andre Drummond is opting in.
That's a slow news day,
now,
granted.
Now, a lot of things had to happen in the world. It had a lot
including
of things.
Including Stugatz needing to be reminded of Andre Drummond's contract situation.
No idea. Dave's like 2 weeks ago. Like, I don't know.
Now, again, keep in mind, Stugatz did not remember that news was broken on Stupidity, and when Chuck Solitoro told him that indeed it had been broken, Stugatz couldn't remember what that news was. But that news is now atop the ESPN.com headlines.
It's also found its way to the scroll, the bottom line scroll, which has delighted our listeners. And they are going after Woj and Bobby Marks and Stugatz Army. I need to call you off. I mean, Bobby Marks tweeted it out. He was promoting me. He was proud of me, our own Stugatz. And they responding, isn't that your beat?
Give Stugatz all of the credit. Stugatz is reigning atop sports right now. Now, again, it did take a lot of things happening. Willie Randolph played for these A's.
No.
That's not Willie Randolph, is it?
No.
No, that would have been too
late. That cannot be Willie Randolph. It might be Willie Randolph.
You guys want me to put it on a TV?
It's Willie Randolph.
He's 3-for-6 with 3 RBIs. Willie Randolph on the 90s A's.
ALCS.
I don't think I should. You guys are distracted.
I mean, 90s baseball will do it, and we've already got all the success we could ever want. Like, we're absolutely resting on our laurels from here on out because it took a pandemic. It took the United States being turned upside down.
Yep. And once again, Stugatz being reminded that he actually broke news.
It took somebody reminding Stugatz that there was news on the podcast, but Stugatz is the number one headline on ESPN.com, which means he has broken bigger news in his career than lifelong journalist Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, who has never written anything other than the betrayal that was reporting that I was engaged that got any kind of news-breaking clicks. Cody, outside of my engagement, what would classify as the biggest news you've ever broken in 40 years chasing news?
You know, it's funny you should mention that because on the latest Greg Cody Show podcast, you and Poppy are my guests, and there's a lot of stuff there that people are really going to want to listen to. I'm not saying it's news, but it's something real close to it. So people.
All right, so answer my question. You got your plug in again. How about answering my question, not with a joke, but with a serious answer that's going to be funnier than the joke. What is the second biggest news Greg Cody has ever broken in 40 years chasing news?
Oh God, I can't. There's too many to. There's too
name
many.
One.
I mean, I just,
name any one.
Because you know what? If I name one, it would be unfair.
Name just one. I won't judge it.
Well, no, but he say he cares too much about the other stories he's broken.
If I name one, the one that's in second,
you wouldn't
want to
offend any of the other stories you haven't broken.
God, I
this
love
show
you.
Ain't free. Time for some ads. Oh,
it is the height of white privilege. You've never broken a story other than the one that betrays me. How are we the worst culprits in terms of white privilege? How did that happen? Where Greg Cody represents the single worst rotting example of white American media members, followed closely by the silver medalist, Chris Cody.
I don't want to
offend all the other stories I've broken.
God bless you, man.
Navaj, people, Stugatz has been telling you for a while, you could irrigate your face.
Willie Randolph?
What are you laughing about, Mike?
Your polished transition to a live read end.
I am totally
irrigating my face sounds pleasant. Let's do this. How?
Tell them how, Stugatz.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.